From PBS News Student Reporting Labs, this is Teacher Reporting Labs. I'm Justin Rhodes, SRL's youth media producer.
And I am Mike Conrad, a teacher at Royal Oak High School in Royal Oak, Michigan. Today we are live from SRL headquarters in Washington, D.C. at the 2025 Teacher Workshop.
We've gathered educators from across the country to share ideas on how to instruct the next generation of journalists, content creators, and artists.
Yeah, that's right. And one big thing that all teachers, including myself, have been trying to navigate for the last few years is the rise of AI. Because whether you like it or not, this will only be further ingrained into our everyday lives. I mean, have you seen The Terminator? Anybody see The Matrix? I mean, we've been warned about this for years, right?
Yeah, Matrix, iRobot, Ex Machina, Her, all those things are really kind of come to the forefront of the conversation when you think about AI in the modern context, you know, and that, you know, certainly comes with the challenges because a lot of those pop culture moments reference the end of times, the worst of the technology.
First, I was afraid of it. I was like, oh, this is trying to take over our jobs in terms of media. The way that people describe it, I was not really familiar with it. So I was proceeding with conscious about it.
Some students were talking about ChatGPT, ChatGPT. And then I asked them, what is that? And said, oh, Mace, it's something wonderful. You just put a question there and it answers everything for you. You don't have to do anything, no research, nothing. And one of the first things that I come to my mind is like all the cheating that will take place in class.
I was spending some time with friends and they sort of pulled it out as like a party trick. They asked it to write a poem, like a really silly poem, using a specific artist's voice. And we were just sitting there thinking it was really interesting and laughing about how accurate or not accurate we thought it was. I've become more concerned with the environmental impact.
I actually first heard about generative AI from a fellow teacher who told me about how she was using it to help level texts for her children. I was intrigued about how it could help, but I was also concerned about what it meant for the roles that teachers and students play in the classroom.
My concern was more in terms of the inequities of teaching AI. I noticed that some of the teachers in my PD who worked at more affluent, socioeconomically affluent schools were already engaging their students in the conversation about prompt engineering, responsible use of AI. The one schools like where I'm from, the concern was immediately student cheating, never mind teacher cheating.
You know, those voices and those educators remind me of when I was in grade school, we had the rise of smart calculators, right? And that was alarming for a lot of teachers because students could easily pre-program calculators with equations to where all you needed to do.
Yeah, they could put the formulas into the calculators.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then it would pump out the answers and things like that. So the solution to that though was teachers had to find a way to get students to still show their work, right? So you had to literally write out the steps of the process in its entirety. You know, and it feels like we're reaching that moment right now with artificial intelligence where the technology is here and now teachers are basically saying, okay, now we need you to show your work.
Someone brought up about some of the AI giving inaccuracies. Yeah, they're turning in work with inaccuracies. Well, of course you're catching those things because they're being flagged, but sometimes the things that are inaccuracies are blatant inaccuracies. And it's pretty obvious.
I have seen a fair share of AI-generated copy over the last few years now, and I always, at least right now, find it fairly lifeless, if I'm being honest. Especially as somebody who doesn't really like writing, I put a lot of effort and energy into actually writing a thing, you know, long form or short form. Mm-hmm. So I know the value that goes into thinking about what you're trying to say, and then also recognizing that a lot of education is applied to be able to write a cohesive sentence. A lot of that stuff, you know, becomes lost when you rely heavily on the technology, right? We know students are using it. We know teachers are trying to find ways to use it. Teaching it becomes a critical skill. And I think that's where we're now landing in this zone of accepting this technology and how do we use it responsibly.
Yeah, because you have to use it responsibly. But if you fight it, you'll lose. Yeah. It's everywhere. It's taking over. And then you don't want to be the AI police 100% of the time, because then you're not going to be teaching content. You're just literally fighting the device, or you're fighting the software. So let's listen how you as an educator community have found a way to integrate AI positively into your classrooms.
I
I've used it quite often when I'm in a social media role in my school, and so a lot of times there's a lot of posts that I have to make, and so I will use that to begin. One thing that I really don't like about it is that everything sounds pretty much the same.
I've used generative AI in my classroom to take videos and texts and pull out guiding questions. What I've found is that oftentimes the questions don't provoke as much deep thinking as I would like. I
actually saw that using it for my lesson plans, to create content, to brainstorm, was actually something that was saving me time, that was actually helping me without taking away my job as a teacher.
I have to be really precise with my language when I'm using AI, especially for my classroom and for my lesson planning.
It gets us 80% of the way there, but then we need to have our own personal experience and know-how to sort of complete that job.
Most recently at the library, I had the opportunity to take a class, and we talked about combining resumes and using AI to be able to help young people as we're preparing for Learn and Earn internship program.
So I think it's important to say, and those are fantastic teachers that are here from all over the country here in Washington, D.C. at the SRL Teacher Workshop. We're talking about generative AI. We're not talking about creating funny images or things like that. We're talking about content. So how can you use it as a springboard? I've been using it to create prompts for discussions and lessons and that kind of thing, and questions to build some writing prompts. And I think we all are. But we have to find a way to use it as an idea generator.
I think ultimately the concern seems to kind of land around AI being so readily accessible, to the point now where a lot of people, particularly students, can't even, you know, or maybe choose to not even write their own text messages or emails. And I think that's where you start to lose a lot of the work, the skills that are required to communicate. After creating a lesson plan or creating prompts, you know, you might think, okay, can I use AI to enhance this as a teacher to make it better? You're still, as an educator, critically thinking about that, right? You're still applying your own human in the loop approach to it all, you know, and that is something that you have to still enforce with students.
Yeah, and you can see when students turn in their work, the writings don't have that human flair to them. I actually use it to do the opposite. You know, I had to take myself out of an equation with a situation with a parent and a student and myself. And after I waited, you know, my good 24 hours and said, okay, I'm not going to respond right now, I was still really amped up about the situation. So I put my problem and I asked ChatGPT to write me a letter to this mom, and I explained the situation. And it was a wonderfully crafted, beautiful, to the point letter that took all of my emotions out of it. So, you know, there's value there to maybe taking the humanity out of it, I guess, in a way. All right, let's take a moment right now to introduce Emily Hope Dobkin, a.k.a. Dobbs, who's floating around the room with us, and she's here with us in the audience right now. Hey, Dobbs.
Hey, thanks for having me. It's great to be here with you all. I first just wanted to share something that I read recently about AI that kind of puts things in perspective. I read this quote that went something like this. I want AI to do my laundry and my dishes so I can do my art and my writing, not the other way around. I don't want AI to do my writing so I can do the laundry and the dishes. And I think that it just really struck me because it really gets at the idea of using AI to really free us up to do the things that makes us more human. So I'm curious, as educators and as teachers, how are you using AI in a way that really supports your work?
Hi, my name is Sarah Chen. I teach at South River High School, located in Edgewater, Maryland, very close to Annapolis. The first time I heard about AI, I was like, whoa, this is like maybe cool, but kind of scary. But I learned from that. So what it used to help me teach is I asked it to help me differentiate better. Because I used to come up with maybe one or two ways to do things. But AI really helped me, like maybe four or five different ways to do the same question or same problem. So yay, AI.
This is great because sometimes we're tunnel visioned into the way we've done things for years and years and years, and we can't get this one thought of our head. But it just gives us that idea, that corner to turn and go, oh, wait a minute, let me phrase it this way.
I saw some other hands over here.
Hello, my name is Chris Sloan. I teach at Judge Memorial in Salt Lake City, Utah. I think I like the word keep human in the loop. And I always tell my students, and I think to myself too, is that we have to do HI before we do AI. So we have to do the human intelligence first and then engage AI if they want to. My problem with a lot of AI assignments is that you're assuming everybody wants to use AI. So we have to give students the opportunity to not use AI.
So you're saying don't turn it into an actual assignment of the project, like the task in class to use AI, the whole class to use AI, because some kids just don't want to use it.
One of the areas we started to explore on the Student Reporting Lab's team is AI literacy, right? So spending, you know, a lot of time up front with students talking about the terms and technology and learning about what these things do and don't do before you even begin doing deep dive integrations with the technology in the classroom.
Hello, my name is Mindy Pavone. I'm an art teacher at Clinton High School in Clinton, New York. It really speaks to me now when I think about, as an art teacher, how AI truly affects not just me, my students, but just artists all over. There's the whole idea of where are those components coming from when you use Photoshop or any of these other programs that you can create images with, and the whole idea of copyright, etc., and whose images are actually being used to create that image that you're asking for. I think that it's something that we cannot avoid. I know it's here. It's going to keep on getting better. I think right now I'm pretty good at saying, okay, that student popped a prompt in, submitted something to me, and it's definitely AI. I have the luxury that if I'm in the classroom, if a student is drawing in front of me, obviously I know it's not AI. But if they go home and they create something, that's where I have to, I'm gonna struggle more with it. I know they're definitely using it. I think us as teachers, we need to start teaching them how to properly use it and making sure that what they're creating still has that human component.
So in terms of teaching them how to use it, and I love that idea because I have to have the conversation fully to get aside and say, look, I know you didn't write this. I pull a kid aside. How many of you had that conversation, right? There's a lot of hands up over there. All right. And the kids feel horrible because they get caught. And how do we turn that into a positive conversation instead of a negative? And I'm actually asking for me. I need to figure this out too, because I want to have those positive conversations with kids, right?
Yeah, how do we do that? How do you do that?
Hi, I'm Nate Harris from Lexington, Mass., Lexington High School. For me, to turn it into a positive conversation with students, I think a lot of it is transparency. So as an educator who is neurodivergent, I use AI to help me both executive function, honestly, in general, as well as to put my ideas into, for example, ChatGPT, and have it help me organize my thoughts. So for me, AI helps me take all of that like brainstorm, ADHD, like beautifulness that's in my brain, and put it and organize it in a way that is accessible to not just other neurodivergent folks, but also to create scaffolding and differentiation for English language learners or newcomers or students that are in my class that have different needs, that allows me to be able to create the structures and supports they need to access my content. I think when it comes to generative AI and image making, there's also the conversation about access. Who has access to private art classes? Who gets to go to art school? What schools haven't cut the arts out?
Okay, so that brings up an interesting point too about, you know, access. Like, who has access to AI? If you have a cell phone ban or a device ban, you don't have access to it in the classroom. If you have a very restrictive technology personnel in your district who's blocking things like YouTube and ChatGPT, you don't have access to that. If we're trying to show them how to use it effectively, but they don't have access, how do we do that?
And now let's go to Sterling.
I'm Sterling Miller. I teach at New Fairfield High School. And AI is something that is changing so quickly, and I don't understand all of it. So when students do use it in some way, I turn it into a positive by asking them what they did. How did they do it? What prompts did they do? And I have them teach me, even if I know how to use it, I have them take the driver's seat and they explain how they did it, what they did. And I ask how they learned, what they learned from it, how could they learn more. And I find the students are more receptive when I don't close up but I open up the conversation. And then I also remember to put in my next assignment, no AI can be used on this assignment. Because if I don't specify, the students are quick to point out, you didn't say I couldn't. But I always ask them, how did you do this? And then I'm ready for the next assignment.
I think that also speaks to transparency, I think is also something I'm also thinking about. I know Monique talked about it, like how are you transparent about how you're using it so that your students can also be transparent about how they're using it? So thank you.
So you were talking about access, right? Access to AI really has to do with our administrators in the building maybe knowing something, right? So AI is a very convoluted way to really kind of help us what we're doing. Access is important, and it really kind of starts from the top down. You know, it's such a new area that it shouldn't be shied off, you know, it shouldn't be scared of. I don't think it's restrictive. I think it's a foundational element to help. It's really something that's going to help a lot of people form new ideas.
I'd like to introduce you to Preston, who's from my home state of Michigan, from the Grand Rapids area. And, you know, this beautiful experience having all of us teachers get together for a couple of days and meeting and learning from each other. And last night at dinner, he was telling me about working with this group called Team Michigan. Preston, can you tell us a little bit about what you're doing with ChatGPT in your classroom? Because it's incredible.
Yeah, so I'm part of Teach for America's Teach Michigan program, like a teacher retention program in the state of Michigan. And one of the PDs they did was they have their own kind of branch dedicated to artificial intelligence and AI. So they showed us this tool called Google Play Labs. And from my understanding, there's a very, very long wait list to become part of this program and to gain access to it. So what it does is they give you a platform to construct your own AI. And that's what I did for my classroom. So we call it FIN. Our news network is called FNN, the Falcon News Network. FIN, Falcon Informational News Network, is as creative as I could get. I programmed an AI for our reporters to use. And what it does is that it helps them generate higher level questions for interviews. And one of the key parameters is that it's not going to give you anything unless you tell it already about your story, that you give it questions that you've already come up with. After a month or two in the class of doing it themselves and working on it themselves, I introduce FIN. They're able to have a conversation and ask it about, you know, are my questions deep enough? So for our students, it's been a great help because they can access this if they're out on a story and they're like, man, I just did an interview, but my I'm not getting that sound bite in a meeting. They can pull up FIN, run through it, and FIN is going to be able to provide them with a couple questions.
Well, I really think that this conversation, I mean, to say it's a scratching the surface is hilarious, because we can't even scratch the surface because the surface is so large with this content. So I hope that some of you can stay connected with each other as we move forward out of this, share ideas with each other. Some beautiful ideas were shared around this room today. So I thank you guys all for that.
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks, everybody. Teacher Reporting Labs is produced by PBS News Student Reporting Labs youth media producer Justin Rhodes.
And senior community engagement manager Emily Hope Dopkin produced this episode.
Justin Rhodes and me, Mike Conrad, hosted this episode.
Editing and mixing by Wyatt Mays.
Approval and oversight by editorial director Marie Cusick and executive director Leah Clapman.
And special thanks to all the wonderful teachers here at our Teachers Workshop. To listen to more episodes of Teacher Reporting Labs, visit studentreportinglabs.org/TRL.
Until next time.
Give it up, everybody. Yay!